Democratic Senator Pat Leahy has said there is a cloud over this White House and a gathering storm. Republican columnist Peggy Noonan has said the great shortcoming of this White House, the great thing is missing, is simple wisdom. In both cases, they were actually talking about the occupants of the White House, but a New York gallery and consulting firm thinks they're onto something. The White House itself is lacking, even though it has 35 bathrooms, 28 fireplaces, a bowling alley, 5 full-time chefs, and, counting all the floors underground, actually 6 stories. Nevertheless, there is this competition going on to design a new White House. One of the judges for the competition is Jeff Mano. He joins us now. Hello, Jeff.
Hi.
What were the rules for if you wanted to enter the competition? What rules did you have to follow?
It was pretty much a free-for-all. So it was an international design competition. You just had to register. You were limited in what you could do as far as the images. You only had 12 sort of display boards that you could do. A display board is really just a piece of paper. So you had 12 sheets of paper that you could use to talk about your idea in both text and images.
How many people did enter?
As far as actual projects that got submitted, there were 430.
Wow.
There were black houses, so it was the White House painted black. There were the total removal of the White House, so there just would be absolutely nothing in the center of D.C. There were White Houses attached to battleships so that they could go off to war. And so there were a lot of really kind of fun ideas like that. The one thing that I wasn't so much shocked but surprised was how few actual architectural proposals there were. That out of 430, I would say genuinely not all that many of them really said, hey, you know, we're going to design a building, and this is what the building's going to look like, and it's going to have, you know, 6 elevators and, you know, 25 more new bathrooms. And there was almost no one who took it on that level. It was all used as it was majoritatively used as a kind of political commentary or really just sort of like a joke, which was fun. I mean, I liked it.
So did you have a winner and a panel of runners-ups? How did that work?
Well, yeah, what we did is we narrowed it down to a list of finalists, and we narrowed even that down then to a list of to a handful of winners. And then we're still going to be doing sort of an American Idol sort of version of this, so we're going to put all of the entries online and let the public decide so everyone can go through all 430 and vote for their favorite, and then we're going to sort of collate those or tabulate them all and then announce all the winners, including the publicly chosen one and our winner, and do all that in September.
Well, talk about maybe one or two strong entries or strong points.
One was a project that deliberately tried to increase the vulnerability of the president on every level.
Uh-huh.
So the idea was that the windows are single pane and they're not bulletproof. The house itself was up on this kind of ridiculous stilt structure that could break at a moment's notice. It was just hovering over the city, so you could shoot at it, throw things at it. It was just sort of right out in the open. But the general idea there was that if you make the president more and more vulnerable and actually decrease security, that you'll inspire a sense of responsibility in your everyday decision making, and that you'll be less inclined, say, to invade a foreign country, or you'll be less inclined to anger a neighbor.
But did any of the entrants really say, look, it still has to have convey a certain amount of gravitas? The White House is still the at least symbolic center of government. Did anyone really buy into the idea that the White House is sort of an American palace?
For the most part, I'd say that they weren't Baroque palaces so much as extremely hyper-modern glass office buildings. But, I mean, there were some that took it on a really interesting level, which is, one idea that I just think is important to highlight is that the fact that the White House is a residence and the fact that the executive branch is distributed throughout the greater D.C. area in sort of subsidiary offices that are located on different streets and in different neighborhoods, it gives this kind of fragmentary or fractured sense to what the executive branch really is. So it's kind of hard to imagine what the executive branch is in the same way that you can picture, say, the judiciary because it has the Supreme Court, mm-hmm. or you can picture, the Congress because it has the U.S. Capitol building.
Right.
So you simultaneously maybe get a sense that the executive branch is much bigger than it really is because you can never see it all in one place, or maybe that you think it's much smaller than it is because you only think it's the White House. But also by having the White House be a residence for the president, it sort of artificially amplifies the idea that the executive branch is just one man. Or one woman, as it were.
Right.
And so by turning the new White House into not just a residence, but actually just a gigantic office complex, that you would more accurately represent for the American people what the executive branch is, and that it's not just the house of some random guy in a cowboy hat who's going to take over the world, that it's actually, thousands of different offices and branches and different workers, and it's an entire branch of government, and it's not just one guy, and it's not just one person that you have to pledge allegiance to, as it were.
How many of the entrants kept the idea of the most iconic room in the White House and therefore the most iconic room in America, the Oval Office? Did you see reverberations of some sort of Oval Office in a lot of the entries?
I did. I mean, yeah, there were White Houses. I mean, there was the White House in the sky kind of idea, which was the International Space Station idea, where you have the president sort of lording over the continents below. There were anti-Oval Offices that would sort of take the Oval Office and put it somehow, like, in the earth. There was one that was actually pretty cool, which took the Oval Office, but basically removed the roof and allowed people to kind of made a subterranean Oval Office so that people could actually look down at the president. And the president would be reminded that he was being looked at by other people. So,
like,
you know,
a
he
zoo.
Is watched and not
like,
the watcher.
Like a presidential zoo.
Yeah, you could say that. A presidential sort of prison.
Oh, my word. Look, they're not going to redesign the White House. But is there any practical application for what was done here? Maybe some state capitol or executive office building will have to be designed. And perhaps some of the ideas here could make its way into the real world. Do you think that's a possibility?
Yeah, it's a possibility. I think that maybe focusing on the practicality of the design contest misses just the fact that on a more philosophical level, I just think it's interesting that, you know, to say to the everyday American citizen that you can actually reimagine what the center of government looks like and that therefore what that center of government, what sort of impact that center of government has on you and how it thinks of itself and how it presents itself through architecture. I think that that is just sort of in and of itself an interesting result for this. And but yeah, you know, there might be a detail here or there that might pop up in, you know, the Idaho State Capitol building or some new office federal building in New York City. You never know.
Yeah. All right. Jeff Mano was on the jury for the White House Design Competition, a senior editor at Dwell Magazine and author of BLDG Blog. Thanks a lot, Jeff.
Sure. Thank you.